Jim.
Good evening, everyone. This is Gordon, WHUGGT, and this is the Bergen Image Radio Association Technical Net. Are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Please call KQBAR. All right, everybody, I'll be on the radio in a moment. I'm just walking out of the hockey rink. I was watching my son's game, so forgive me for being a little late and getting things started. Anyway, this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association's Technical Net. This is a conversation about amateur radio. It's open to all radio amateurs. We talk about radio, we talk about electronics, we talk about computers, we talk about telecommunications, we talk about the underlying science and technology that gives us the ability to communicate. We also have the joys and pleasures of talking about our operating experiences. That's a whole lot of fun too. Things we've done, things we aspire to do, things that we are happy about, things we never want to do again. All those things. It's really a wonderful time to talk about amateur radio in a broad sense. So the technical net is very technical, but it's also very social. So it's open to all amateurs. So much so that we actually like you to check in, even if you don't think you have a question, comment, a sales swap, or wanted item, etc. So do keep that in mind and plan to log in to the net. We do this in an orderly fashion, and the way we log into the net is by giving our call sign, our name, and then we indicate whether we have a question, comment, for sale swap, or wanted item, or we can say none of the above, and that's fine too. Pause. Alrighty, very good. And now we're on the radio. What do you want the echo like? Give me 1 second. Okay, that's much better. All right, so with no further ado, let's start logging call signs into the net. By the way, the frequency of this repeater is 146.955, 146.955. The PL is 141.3, and the offset is 600 kilohertz minus. The other way to get into the net is via Echolink, and that's K2 Foxtrot Juliet-L, K2 Foxtrot Juliet-L for Lima. And this net is brought to you by the courtesy of Chestnut Ridge Radio Club that owns the Alpine repeater here in northeastern New Jersey. So, with no further ado, stations whose call signs begin with Alpha, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, whether you have a question, comment, or sales offer a wanted item, some combination of those things, or none of the above, please call KQBAR.
ACCT.
Oh, yeah.
Assistant
listening tonight, Gordon. Okay, Paul, I got you. AC2T. Got you squared away. Welcome aboard, Paul. Who is the station who doubled with Paul?
AC2GI, Rich, one question.
Good evening, Richard. I promised last week that we would start with the alphas, and I remembered this time. That's great, Rich. Got your question, so noted. Alrighty, any other alphas?
AA2WP, Willie P, just larking.
We got all these alpha calls today. All our favorite alphas are here. Note, I didn't say Hawaiian station. Like Alpha Hotel. We don't have to call it an Alpha Hotel, but that's another question. All right, I'm being a wise guy. Any other Alpha? All righty, how about our friendly neighborhood, November?
November 3, Charlie, Romeo Tango. Charlie, no questions. Hi.
Hey, Charlie. How are you, your bride, and that lovely little bundle of energy that you feed? Hope you're well. Very good to hear you. Alright. Any other Novembers? Alrighty. How about whiskeys?
W2886. Good evening. Well, good evening, Gordon. It's been a long time, and we're just hanging out tonight.
Good evening, Matt. Welcome aboard. We gotcha. Any other whiskeys?
W2JEK, Don, with a comment.
The UA2QBC, no traffic.
Okay, I got Don and Bruce. Don has a comment. Bruce is just checking in. W2QBC, welcome aboard. Thank you, Don and Bruce. All right, any other whiskeys?
WE2R, Charlie. Just listening.
Good evening, Charlie. Welcome aboard. All righty, any other whiskeys?
Yep.
Someone want to try that again? If someone's just below threshold on the repeater, try again, sir. I'll come back to it. Okay, any other whiskeys? Alrighty, Kilo 2. That's Kilo followed by the number 2. Any other Kilo?
KB2, TRW.
Good evening, Kai. No questions.
Good evening, Kai. Good to hear you. Any other kilos? Or any call sign, any format?
On Echo Link from Sussex County, New Jersey.
I saw you, Jim, on the Echo Link, but okay, we'll get you now. WA2UMP via Echo Link. James, and what are your intentions tonight?
Just listening, Gordon. Thank you.
Very nice, very nice. Okay, very good. Was there another station who came in with no modulation on their carrier? You want to try it again? Yeah, whoever that is, you're keying the repeater, but there's absolutely no audio. The mic line is not happening. WI2W, late check-in. Go ahead, Steve. What are your intentions, sir?
I have a comment.
We'll provide you with an opportunity for that comment. All right, very good. Anybody else?
Uniform 2 Sierra, Randy, Washington Township, with a comment.
Okay, Randy. Boy, you're hitting that audio really hard, Randy. Was that you before with the no audio on the carrier?
Sorry, I slipped on my mixer. I pulled it down now a little. Is this better?
Keep going. Pull it down a little bit more.
How's that?
Oh, God knows it's robust, but it's not too much. It's fine.
Thank you.
I like punchy audio, but we're... You were exceeding the rational deviation. You weren't popping the fast band, you just weren't happening. So were you that signal before that had been all the way too low?
Yes, I was. Sorry about that.
No offense taken. I just want to make sure I'm not going to have to go fish somebody else out of the soup. All right, any other stations wishing to check into the Baratech then? Alrighty, let's proceed. Mr. Don, you're number one on the queue, and then we'll go to Rich with his question. W2JEK, KQBAR.
2NBR with a question.
And sir, I'll add you to the list.
Okay, KQBAR, does anybody have it?
All yours, Don.
KQBAR, W2JEK, good evening, everybody. My comment is about the Barra's next 3E test session. It will be held on October 11th. That's a Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. It's at the Barra Ham Fest at the Westwood Regional High School on 701 Ridgewood Road, Township of Washington. If you're coming, bring ID, your driver's license, or a passport, or a photo, or two non-photo IDs. Fee is $15. If you need your social security number, if you do not have a license, if you have a license or do you want to get one before you got the license, get an FRN number from the FCC. And have a calculator. You're allowed to bring that, but either the memory is empty. No cell phones, iPods, etc. may be used as calculators. And one other thing, just a minute. FCC has recently granted examination credits for expired licenses that have expired beyond the two-year grace period. People who have had general, advanced, or extra class licenses. However, to get back into the ham radio game, they will have to show proof that they did have a license. And also, they will have to pass the current technician exam of 35 written questions. At that point in time, they pass that the credit for the those who held a general class will get a general class. Those who held an advanced class will get a general class. An extra class will get an extra class. We have that set up. I think that's about it, unless somebody has some questions. Back to that W2JEK.
Hey, very good. Oh, sorry, that worked. Anybody have any questions for Don? I just want to point out why it is that, let's say you're reviving an extra or an advanced or a general, why it is that you have to take the technician exam. And the answer is they want you to have the rudimentary rules and regulations for a current amateur radio license under your belt. They're assuming it's all the high-tech stuff you'll figure out because you've been there and done that before. But there's a lot of regulatory safety and just slight differences in the way modes are referred to that come out in that technician exam. So that's why you have to do it. So that's the reason. I don't think that's ever been made clear. Anybody have any comments? If not, Don, you pick it up.
Hey, should I put a question?
We have two of you. Okay. Matt, you go first in HN.
Hey, thank you. A question for Don. I'm bringing two friends along to take their tech license test. And would you just run over the forms of ID again? And how many questions is in the pool for the tech test?
Yeah, I think there's about 350 questions in the pool. And I would hope that they've got the license manual and get out and study and not just try and run. Also, be advised that the technician class license pool was just changed. So the current one came into effect on this past July. So any other older license manuals than that are obsolete and should not be used. Point that out to people because they go to the library and they got a thing, oh, you got a technician exam. Oh, yeah, but they also show it in the book, the novice license exam. So you know that's horribly out of date. As far as identification, using a driver's license or support, some kind of a reference to something issued by the government for a school ID, and forms on photo ID that show that you are living at a certain residence, that should do it. Back to you, is that clear enough that you need more information on it?
Yeah, Don. Okay, thanks on the ID information. How many questions are there in the test?
Okay, the test itself is 35 questions. It's a multiple choice questions for those questions. Over.
Okay, got it. Thank you very much. Back to you, Gordon.
Very good. Was there somebody else in there as well? Okay, I'll take those as now. All right, very good. Don, did you want to put any ribbons on it?
The one thing that hasn't been too well publicized is the old license credit that where people have had their license expire beyond the 2-year grace period. This is not probably outside of the ham world or ORL's website and some others. Not too well publicized. The people who are out of ham radio but have had radio licenses at one time. Know somebody that's like that, but been sort of out of ham radio, you can tell them that this is happening now, and have them, they can re-up by taking the tech exam. A lot of people probably don't know it. If they're Of course, a lot of people are out of it because they just want to stay out of it. But this is an opportunity for them to get in, back in without going through even more than the technician exam. Back to the W2JK.
Very good. Okay. Very, very good. That's a good clarifier. Thank you, Doc. Alrighty. I'm just looking here on the list. I just want to clarify the list before we go forward. It was N2NDR. I forgot just to write down your intentions. You want to come in and just add your name to the list and what your intentions are.
Yes, Gordon. I just have a question concerning House bill on CCNRs brought to my attention by the latest issue, the latest arrival of the Q magazine.
Sure. And your call again?
N2NBR.
NDR. That's why I'm having trouble. All right. I heard NDR. What the heck am I doing wrong here? I know this. All right, very good. Yeah, all right, we'll get to that in due time. I did notice on EchoLink we have Andre as well at 2JDH. Andre, what are your intentions?
Oh, Gordon, 2JDR, 2JDH. I have a question. Yeah, my name is Andre.
Connected N2JDH.
One question. When turning your over, when winding your own toroids for the infant that we've been playing with, how do you count the number of turns? Is it the wrap on the outside of the toroid or the wrap on the inside of the toroid?
Great question. It's the wrap where the windings would overlap. So if you have one girth, if you've girdled the toroid once, that's one turn.
Comment?
Go ahead, Steve.
The way I understand it, count the turns on the inside that pass through the core ridge.
Oh, yeah, by definition.
Okay, we were having this discussion at work because a bunch of us have made those NFEDs at work, and on some of the YouTube videos, you see them spinning them and counting the wrap as it goes through the outside, and because they're the ones that are a complete wrap, and then some people are saying, no, you have to count the ones on the inside. Now, you count it as it crosses the inside, whether it completely goes around the toroid or not, so the feed and the end wires count as a wrap?
I always get in trouble with this. What I do is I start on the inside, coming off the board, or just outside. I actually start underneath this, if you will. So, by definition, it's the number of turns that are complete inside, but I start and end my turns on the outside.
Alright, I'm going to have to visualize that.
Okay, so are you going to lay the toroid flat, or are you going to have it standing up?
Going to be standing up in my hand.
Okay, so it's standing up like a bullseye, you take the palm of your hand. The wire comes from the outside, goes under and through the core, around and through the core to the outside again, and once it goes down and is at the bottom of the core on the outside, that's one turn. Continue until you have the number of turns.
2JK.
Go ahead, Don.
W2JK, I have the Oak Hills manual here for winding toroids. I just put together an Oak Hills 2-meter, 30-meter QRP transceiver here. Read what they tell you. Yeah. Every time the wires pass through the center of the core, you count that as one turn. Turns are always counted on the inside of the core. Back to net.
Right, and to do that and have complete turns, you have to start on the outside and you have to finish on the outside. That's all I'm saying. So you're absolutely right. That is correct. Anybody else? Okay, very good. Well, that's a really good question, Rich, and I'm glad you brought it up. Because, you know, turrets have enough problems getting sorted out, don't they? Especially when you got two and three windings going through it.
Like I said, we're having the discussion at work comparing to what we think to YouTube videos that we've been all watching and different things. And of course, everybody has an opinion, but that was a very factual one. Thank you, Don. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Gordon. Back to that, AC2GI.
That's our pleasure. Absolutely our pleasure. Alrighty, let's see. Our next person is Randy, I think. Hold on, do you have it right? I think so. Randy, W2S, what's up with you today, KTBAR?
Thank you, Gordon. Good evening to everyone on the net. Hope the audio here is clear and at the moment. I apologize for the earlier goof up on my part, and that's my comment is I'm trying to get the stuff straightened out here. And my only excuse is I'm coming off of a stretch of 11 days of watching grandchildren for every day, so I'm still a little dizzy. Anyway, what I'm working on is cleaning up the inputs to all of the rigs here in the shack by building a distribution panel for the mic, or actually for a pair of mics to all of the rigs I have currently in the shack, and a couple extra slots for future growth should I acquire additional rigs. And so what I'm building is based on Bob Heil's description of his little distribution panel in episode 109 of Ham Nation, and he has a fairly brief description, but a good pictures of it. If you pause the video, you got a pretty clear sense of what he's doing. So at this moment, I've got the most difficult part of the construction laid out, which is to get all the holes for the connectors positioned and actually cut out, punched out. And from here on out, it's just a matter of putting the connectors in the chassis and wiring the appropriate wires. I plan on bringing this to the current state of construction to the Fair Lawn meeting tomorrow night, if anyone's interested, and then I should have this thing completed in a week or two, depending on how much soldering time my granddaughters allow me. Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra, back to net control.
Yeah, your granddaughter's old enough to start soldering themselves?
I wish, because I'll get them drafted as soon as they're ready. Now, unfortunately, the older one is not quite three, but she's as smart as a whip, and I know she's going to be picking all this up. And, of course, we had my grandson visiting as well over the last weekend, so it was a little chaos for about 3 or 4 days, but a very pleasant kind of chaos. Back to net.
Yeah, my guess is you and your wife enjoyed every fatiguing minute of it, too.
That we did.
I'm sure. That's awesome. Good for you. All right. So anybody have any reply comments or additional comments for Randy on the subject of what do they call it? Station bus kind of things. But Randy, I'm in the process of redoing mine. I've been in that state forever, but I have a bunch of lightning arresters all mounted up on heavy angle strips to get bolted to the aluminum plate that's my centralized grounding bus for the entrance panel, if you will, for all my antennas. And I think I'll bring that tomorrow, and I think you'll get a kick out of it. I'll just throw them in the car. They're small. They're not as pretty as yours. I mean, God, yours is pretty. I remember, I actually seen it at one stage of construction. So I'll bring what I'm doing. And, you know, it's for different environments, but it's very cool as well. All righty. That's pretty neat. Anything else for Randy? Yeah, just want to point out one other thing, Randy. I did see the conversation about your testing. Now, all your devices are actually for your broadband hamnet testing. Most devices are ubiquity, but you do have at least one Linksys that's run consistently and not rebooted itself endlessly, right?
The current test bed is three ubiquity devices, a Rocket, a Loco, and a air grid outside of the grid. It's just the transmitter housing. And two Linksys devices, a Linksys GS and a Linksys G. And all five devices have been running continuously now for about 7 days.
Yeah, for whatever reason, my Linksys boxes don't seem to come up and stay up. They seem to be rebooting, and I don't know what that's about. I'm suspecting hardware because yours is working. Yours are working, I should say. So that's good to know.
So far, so good, and I'll be doing some of the trickier testing in the next few days, the network testing and FTP file transfer and whatever the other protocols call for, so should pull up some other interesting results. But so far so good. The only potential problem is the OLSR component may be rebooting itself periodically. That I reported an observation earlier this evening, but I'm not really sure how to get any more information on it.
Yeah, mine actually went dry the other night. In other words, the connection, the node was still accessible from its hotspot or its direct wire port, but it lost all its peers, and the peers weren't the problem, so I rebooted the node, and boom, it came right back up. So I think there's two things at play with some of my nodes. I think there's a hardware problem, and I think that OLSR, should we say going dry or going sterile, is a real issue. We'll see. We'll see. Anyway, part of my task for tomorrow are to flash Paul's nodes that he gave me, and to mess with for next weekend. The latest I'll run there is make sure they mesh, so that's what I'm bringing tomorrow night to go work on. And I should be there early, plus or minus a small plumbing project I have to take care of tomorrow before going off to Pittsburgh for 24 hours on Saturday and Sunday to Jeremy. Alrighty, anybody else on the topic of mesh networking? And we'll delay the conversation about the tunneling until we hear more. Alright, very good. Let's go on to somebody else then. Steve, WITW, it's your ball, TGPAR.
K2BAR, WITW, evening everybody. Well, let's start off by saying we had a really great portable day on Saturday, and I'm nice to see those of you that were there. I know Don was there. He set up his end-fed wire and a homebrew tuner and made some QRP noise, made a contact or two. Tony, K2AMI, was there and put up a 40-meter inverted delta loop fed with an ICOM automatic antenna tuner, and tuned it from 6 through 40 and made contact all over the place. The bands were wide open, 10 meters was really hot. It was nice to see lots of activity on the bands. Everybody made lots of contacts. Richard K2CB and Jim K2ZO were both running offset fed antennas, dipoles. I was running an end-fed 40-meter wire put up as a sloper with a homebrew matching transformer. Not the 9-to-1 unit that folks have been making with the Type 2 cores. This was actually a 9-to-1 transformer made with Type 43 ferrite. And three turns on the primary, 27 on the secondary. And that works out to be an impedance transformation of 81-to-1. So it takes 4,000 ohms down to 50 ohms roughly. And you use it on 20 and 40 without a tuner, which is what I did with 100 watts on the truck. And that was a lot of fun. A bunch of folks sat down at my station, made contacts, and at the end of the day, when everybody left, I took my little 5-watt QRP rig out and made a contact with somebody in Sweden and another contact with a guy in Georgia, who's here on business from the Netherlands, and I've been communicating with email over email since, so that's been kind of fun. I got a chance to meet Jim, WA2UMP. Nice to see you, Jim, for the first time. I got a look at his CS700 digital DMR radio, whatever that translates to these days. So that was really nice to meet Jim, finally put a face to the voice. I've been hearing him on the net here for quite a while. Last but not least, to work some really interesting DX over the last week or two. Worked China, pull up my log. Mongolia, worked Tristan da Cunha three times, all over the place. So, Greece, Alaska, Costa Rica, Rodriguez Island, just lots of fun. So the bands have been hopping. If you're on HF, it's a good time to be on HF. But these winter conditions right now, the fall conditions are usually, the last couple years have been very, very good. So it's a good time to get on the air and play some radio. And with that, back to Ned, K2PAR, WI2W.
That sounds great, Steve. It really does. You know, I got a chance to operate some 40 QRP phones on Saturday late in the afternoon. It was really too late for the power level I was running. But I had an Envis 40-meter antenna. I did make a contact or two with W2FMR. And that worked out very, very well. Really enjoyed it. I was up at the Flutterwood Mountain Scout Reservation. There will be, by the way, an award given out by the Venture Crew 7373. It'll be a certificate, basically for the asking. If you work all the different scout camps that we have in our council, plus another operation running the main call sign too. So I'll have more information on that shortly. But it's pretty cool. We're just waiting for the vanity licenses to call signs to kick in over the next couple of weeks for the rest of the stations. Alrighty. Anybody else have any comments about Portable Day or what the technologies that were implemented there and questions about, et cetera?
Question?
Good question.
K2BAR, EC2GI. Steve, do you have drawings for that transformer?
I can certainly put something together. It's pretty duck simple. Are you going to be at the meeting on Sunday night?
I plan to. Hopefully to bring a power box.
All right, I'll see you at the meeting. Back to them. K2BAR, WITW.
Back to that, EC2GI.
Thank you very much. Serge, anybody else have any thoughts about Portable Day, et cetera? Okay, so we got a guy who's got a thumb problem. All right, N2NBR, make it short for a second, just to make sure you're getting through this nonsense. K2BAR, go ahead, John.
Okay, Gordon, I am referring to a subject which is near and dear to me, actually, for a lot of hands, concerning permission to operate, in contractual situations that the FCC shouldn't be able to overcome, but only with the permission of Congress. How do I sound?
You sound fine. Continue.
Okay, let me let you stop for a second.
Okay.
This is surprisingly enough, well, maybe not surprisingly enough, the August issue of CQ arrived in today's mail. Anyway, be that as it may, they're seeking co-sponsors to sought for the House bill on CQ&R. What that means is that ARR is urging him to contact his local representatives in Congress to request their support for and ideally co-sponsorship of H.R. 4969, which is a bill that would require the FCC to expand so-called PRB1 protections to provide land use regulations. For nearly 30 years, the FCC has required that local governments reasonably accommodate amateur radio operations. And this goes on a little bit. What they're basically saying is that just in case you bought a condo that has a covenant that says you can't transmit, that gets thrown out the window under FCC or under federal law. So I looked in QST, they don't refer to it, and I guess Congress, you know, being the way it is these days, likes to tie itself up in knots. This probably hasn't gotten too far, but it would be a bad idea to call your usual collection of representatives, let them know that it's really important to the AM radio community. Back to you, Gordon.
It's making some progress in the House. The problem is getting somebody in the Senate to take it up. Now, Uncle Harry is a one-man dictator on all legislation that goes through there, so probably not inclined to do anything that he didn't think of or will not put money in his pocket, I can tell you. But it's a very worthwhile endeavor. It's useful to go through the exercise, even if it doesn't pass muster in this session of Congress. Amazing things have happened in the dark of night in the lame duck session, so that's not a bad thing either. So, you know, we just keep putting it forward, and eventually it'll get through one way or another. So that's good. It is a bipartisan ported bill right from the start. I think it has a lot of promise. I encourage you to talk with your elected representatives, call their offices, or send them a note. I know I called Scott Garrett's office. It's also helpful in getting Mike Lysenko a visit with someone from his office. That's worked out very well, et cetera. Anybody else have something on this? JK. Go ahead, Mr. Dodd.
Yeah, I think they wanted people to send. ARRL was, you know, that August, that's old news. I still haven't gotten my August CQ because the CQ magazine has problems getting things printed. But the ARRL was asking people to send a letter to them either by email or by postal mail, and I think they were supposed to have that in by sometime in September, and then they were going to do it, bundle them up to senators or representatives in Washington by bundling them up, because if they don't, they're going to get scanned looking for people looking for anthrax or other nonsense in the mail. This way, the source gets through in a timely manner. So I don't know that there's a lot of information about it on the ARRL's website if you look at that. Back to the W2JK.
Yeah, was this for like league officials to bring over? I know Mike met with people in Congress, and I think Chris Emley went over there. Along with perhaps some other officials of the league. So, yeah, physically walking the paper in allows it not to sit at the bottom of a mailroom dustbin and scanning for anthrax and other nasty cooties. So it's all good. Anybody else? Well, it's very important that look at it, and I actually called our two U.S. senators, once again proving to myself that they're useless pieces of garbage. I'll use that word here. But he said, oh, if it's a House bill, we don't care. I said, but we need to make it a Senate bill, too. Okay. So both our U.S. senators are
awful, but anyway, it is what it is. I guess they feel cowed by Boss Harry, you know, can I tell you, but that's my own, you know, rant. Hopefully he will not be in that position next year. I'll leave it at that. Alrighty, anybody else?
KD2HFZ, trying to check in.
KD2HFZ, welcome to Ham Radio and to the Barra TechNet. Welcome aboard. What's your name and what are your intentions, sir?
My name is Mark, and I'm having some radio issues at the current moment, trying to figure out how to program my Bofang R2B5R. I just figured it out.
That's excellent. All right. Welcome aboard. I think you said Mark was your name. Welcome aboard. Are you in New Jersey somewhere? Very good. Well, if you can, come to the Barra meeting on Sunday night and bring your HD with you. And maybe if you have a programming cable, there's probably some guys who can help you figure out what to program in there and, you know, and the like. Generally, I can't guarantee I will be there. I'll be coming back from Pittsburgh in the afternoon at some time. But if I have any gas in my personal energy tank, I'll come and I'll bring my laptop and we can help out a little bit, but there's other guys who can help out making suggestions what to program anyway when you get there, so welcome aboard. Let's finish up the other subject and we'll see what else. Anybody else have anything about this 64 HR 60, I forget what it is, anyway, but Fort Answer United, I think, anyway. Anybody have any other thoughts on this?
That's a negative. Nobody has no more comments on it.
Okay, John, very good. Thank you again. All right. Andre, N2JDH, it's your ball now.
Andre, let's hear what you got to say there, Andre.
K2PAI N2JDH. My question is mostly on manual tuners and handsticks. What are some things to look out for with the manual tuners and the handsticks?
W2TTT disconnected.
Hey, don't worry, guys. They just disconnected the echo link. It's in motion now with plenty of radios. Okay, so what you do is you tune for the part of the band that you think you'll use without the tuner, whatever you think you use most often. If you're not sure, tune it for the lower end of the band. That's what I do typically. And then let the tuner do the work of bringing on frequency as you have excursions up in frequency. Anybody else have any different thoughts on that? Okay, very good. Well, a couple other things to keep in mind. If you shove more than about 2 inches of, typically about 2 inches of the rod into the core of the hamstick, you'll detune it in ways you hadn't even thought of. So look for where the windings are very dense, and hopefully, you know, you just don't want to go far into that with the rod. I mean, you can bury it more if the coil is down below the collet at the top, but if you find yourself needing to go shorter, you may have to cut the rod, which is why I always, you know, opt for what, you know, if I'm using a tuner, by default, I basically said, hell with it, I'm just going to leave it long and let her go at that rate, or get it at least within the band somewhere, and then I don't get too fussy at that point. I just, at that point, use the tuner and be done with it. Anybody else have any thoughts? All right, well, there you go, Andre. Hopefully that helps you. I've got a hamstick sitting on my vehicle right now.
I was playing around with it today, so I got it to tune up on, actually down on 80 meters where I couldn't tune it up before, and I found out what the problem was. I was just curious as to what are some do's and don'ts with the manual tuner. So I guess I'll figure it out when I get the manual tuner. So anyway, back to K2BAR and to JH.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you, Andre. Okay, KD2HFZ, Hotel Foxtrot Zulu. Mark, over to you. Tell us a bit about yourself and what you'd like to do with your UV5R.
Right now, I don't know what I did, but I just figured it out. I just got into it. I just made a couple of contacts.
Oh, did you go to Barra Portable Day and meet the guys, et cetera?
Yes, I did. I've been listening to you last week, but I didn't have my license.
Outstanding. That's great. Well, Mark, it's great to hear you, and hopefully we'll get to meet you on Sunday night, if my body allows me to do that.
Fortunately, I will not be in the area.
Okay, and many of us are around on Friday nights at the Fairlawn Radio Club, the community center. You know, I'll be there, Randy will be there, a couple other guys will be tomorrow night. I will not be next week. I know that because I have Scout Fest up at New York Alpine. But other than that, I hope that my family is not requiring my presence. If, either for work, hockey, or other activities, I usually am around on Friday night at that drill one. Unfortunately, the Boy Scout meeting on Tuesday night, so I don't get to go to kid night very often, but so that's another valuable time to congregate and meet guys, and that's over at Westwood High School, typically on Tuesday evenings. Close, they move it over to the community center again, where the Barrett meetings are on Sundays, so same drill, different game, as it were. KD2FH said, anything else? W2TD2.
That was it.
Oh, great. That's super. So with a call like that, your nickname can end up being Hafez, so you might want to change it. Just kidding.
Well, I'll consider it.
There's a reason for the vanity program. God only knows I've made use of it. Anyway, you know, welcome to Ham Radio. It's a pretty friendly spot. That covers around here, and there's a bunch of others. So, you know, good to have, hopefully you have 7-9 program too. So, congratulations. If you had just said anything else, W2GGTKUVAR.
And 2NPR.
Go right ahead, John.
Also, continuing down the editorial column here of CQ, next to the, I won't go into it now, but those of you who get it, you'll know what they're talking about. The next to the last item on page 2 is, I think, ARL talks about it concerning the FCC. Again, I won't bore you all with it, but it's quite informative in terms of fines and stuff like that. Back to you, Gordon.
Yes. Notice of apparent liability, notice of forfeiture. I love reading those.
Yeah, same here.
And and if you know the backstory on some of them, they're hysterical. They're on them. I have visibility to other services where there's, you know, NALs and NOFs. So I get to see that live and in color. Very entertaining stuff. Alrighty. Anybody else with anything for the next night?
Yes.
Station.
The Delta 2, Charlie Alpha Kilo, RE and Sake. Good evening.
The Kilo Delta 2, Charlie Alpha Kilo, RE.
be me, and if I can digress back to an earlier topic, can I ask about something concerning the tech licenses?
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
I didn't know this before I took the test. You know, I went there and I wanted the license badly enough to give my SOSH out, which they then transfer into an FRN number, which you can use to get your next licenses. Afterwards, I was informed that you can get an FRN number before you even go in to take the tech test, I guess from your own computer, like that's more secure, but I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit about the significance of that FRN number and whether, you know, people like Dan or new people getting their license should go out and get an FRN number first, and I thought this would be a good place to ask back to then.
RN, interesting question. You certainly can. In which case, a couple of things you need to know. You still need to show up with a social security number when you take the test. And if you have an FRN, you darn well better tell Don or whoever is giving the exam that and put it on your application, even if it's for an initial license. So yes, a good question, good point. The purpose of the FRN is so that once you have your FRN, they don't need to retain or circulate your social security number. Social security number started to get lost in federal circles, state circles, et cetera, over a period of decades. And for instance, military IDs, those who are Vietnam era and older, remember that you had a military ID that if you were in the Army, it was, in the regular Army, it was RA, blah, blah, blah. If it was reserve, it was something, AR, if it was a reservist, NG for National Guard, or as they said, no good, which is terrible, but they moved to Social Security numbers in the 70s, and that stayed for a few decades, and then they've gone back to registration numbers of another type. So, yes, you no longer say, sir, you don't do that.
JEK with a comment.
Speaking of someone who had probably an RA number, we're sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, I lost something in the middle there. I wasn't sure if you could get it back to me.
No, Don gets it first, sorry.
That's the W2JEK, yeah. I do run the VE sessions now. I do have people come in. I know we had a group over in Paramus, and some of the people were squeamish about giving the VE their social security number. But I'll get onto the FCC's website and obtain the FRN number on their own. They filled out the 605 form, which is the application that we supply, the FRN number. If you have already received a license and you're upgrading, let's say from tech to general or general to extra, that upgrade, instead of using social security number, you are required to. There are a few people around that are in the hinterlands that did not ever get an FRN number years back, and are on a renewal. So when we try to upgrade, they will have to use a social. Some people have gotten the FRN number from using commercial radio equipment and they use that same FRN number for the amateur radio applications. So I pretty much part of the story. Back on W2JEK.
Thank you, Don. That's a very good and eloquent way of handling it. So, Ari, you don't need to bring your social security number. I stand corrected. You pre-file it, an FRN. Or an FRN, I should say.
Okay, well, as you know, it's too late for me, but I know you work with a lot of Boy Scouts, and I was just wondering what the opinions were out there over.
Oh, they all come cheerfully with their social security numbers. There's never a problem with that. The joke is even the ones who aren't here illegally. No, I'm just kidding. I have no scouts here illegally.
There should be illegal scouting, but that would be a different net, KD2CAK.
Very good, very good. It was nice seeing you, by the way, yesterday.
Over it, Mr. KJI.
Thank you. I didn't want to hold up the net. I was also curious whether Andre was going to try to tune, you know, different sticks for different frequencies or just one stick for a lot of frequencies, in which case my question would be, or correct me if I'm wrong, I'm under the impression that most tuners can make a shorter stick longer than a longer stick shorter. If that sounds right, let's hope. Throw it out there. Back to you.
But it's more... You know, I mean, for instance, you're going to have the problem with the even multiples no matter what. You have a really, really good tuner that has lots of compete matching capabilities. So if you try to use the 40 meter rip on 20, probably not very good. If you try to use it on 50, it'll be fine. Those even multiples that really fight you. I generally think longer is better, but that's just me. Good question. Anybody else have any thoughts on that? I guess the truth is spoken. There you go, Ari. Okay.
See, you're letting me check in. I don't want to hold it up. I'll just go ahead and pass it on. Thank you. K2BAR, KD2CAK.
Very good, Ari. Thank you for checking in. We're here every Thursday night. Just as a reminder, these nets are recorded by amateurradio.tangovictor. You can actually replay FastNet going back about 8 years. At amateurradio.tangovictor, right on the front page, you'll see Barra TechNet, next to the Limark TechNet, and I think the future of the New York Transit net. And the more recent nets are there, usually starting with 2 or 3 weeks back. And there's also a tab or a URL to go to a different page and then get all of the old ones. So you pick out a date and time, et cetera, that you want to do, or a date for a net that you're interested in. Replay the net. They're all there, except for the first three. Starting with net four, they are all there. So the other thing you can do for resources and the like, use the Comtech group on Yahoo Groups. Can't find it. It's all squished together. Charlie Oscar Mike, Tango Echo, Charlie Hotel, Golf Romeo Oscar, Uniform Papa, all squished together. Comtech group and Yahoo Groups. Find that. If you can't find that, shoot me an email at w2tangotangotango@awrl.net, and I will be happy to get you an invite. If you do ask to be a member of the group, do include your call sign in the request for group membership, because that seems to be the definition of figuring out who you are. So anyway, that's the score. But there's lots of great files up there. Great old emails and the like. That, coupled with the availability of the old audio, if you want to rehear in that, they're out there. They do get played from time to time, I find out. So it's pretty cool. Anyway, everybody, is there anything else for the net before I close?
One more comment. Wanted to welcome HFC to the hobby, and, you know, many people don't give up their call sign for that vanity call. You might not want to give up your chance to be King David II Hot-Footed Zebra. You never know. So with that, I will let it go. KD2CAK, back to net.
That's funny. Andy was KC2's DCG. Yes, Zebra's chomping grass. She viewed that call sign as more than adequate opportunity to, she took the technician's desk, to strike the box. I'll take the lottery of whatever they're giving us. She has FWI now for finals in November to finals on KC2. Anyway, it's all good. Yes, my wife qualifies for QCWA. It's pretty good for a 19-year-old, don't you think? Anyway. All right, 7-3, boys. Have a good one, and have a great night. K2BAR, thank you for checking the retreat for Peter. Looking forward to working you all again soon. And don't be a stranger. Looking forward to seeing you at the net. At the Barra meeting, if possible, and certainly at our other activities. And at the Ham Fest, the week from Saturday, which I will not be able to make because of Scout Fest. I think most of you will be able to do that. So enjoy the Ham Fest, gentlemen. VAR is the carrying station. Turning it over.
clear. Normal amateur radio use, the Liga 2, TTT clear.
Gordon, can you stick around for a minute?
I can do that right.